Hi there, and welcome back to the Stay at Home Actor podcast, a podcast documenting my journey as I navigate what it looks like to be a new mom and an actor. I'm your host, Sarah. I need you all to know how unglamorous I currently look. I am sitting in a chair of spit up because I just fed Rory not too long ago, and she spits up more than any baby I have ever known. I'm not being dramatic. One of my actor side hustle jobs has been nannying for quite a long time, and Rory spits up more than any baby I have ever nannied for. She has definitely inherited my acid reflux, sadly, so the jury is still out on what like features of mine she will or will not get, but what we do know beyond a shadow of a doubt is if she has acid reflux, she got it from me, and it is looking like she maybe has it. Anyways. It's wonderful. Some other life updates. Rory is in another leap, which is very fun. She's starting to have like little conversations where she makes funny faces and noises, and it's kind of awesome. She will be like, "Ooh, ah, ooh." I was wondering what it was going to feel like trying to do her noises, and it is just as cringe as I thought it would be. But it's so fun. She smiles a lot. She looks like she wants to laugh. She's like really acting like she wants to start laughing. It's just the best. Her bobblehead is slowly getting less bobbly, and thank God for that, because that thing stresses me out. That and the soft spots on top of a baby's head. I love little newborns, but that is really freaky, okay? So yeah, my human baby is doing great. My fur baby Rucker, who is a four-year-old Aussie doodle, is doing less great. We don't really know what's going on. When Rory was 4 days old, he had his first ever seizure, which was, it was terrible. It was so, my hormones were already awful, and that was, I didn't know what was going on, and it was horrible. But yeah, we took him to the emergency that when that happened, and his blood work was fine and normal. And then weeks go by, nothing happens. We just thought it was a freak incident. But a few days ago, he just had his second seizure, and I was just so sad. Truly, I was home alone at home with Rory. Thankfully, I had just set her down for a nap. But yeah, if you have had an animal or known people who have seizures, it's the worst thing to watch. There's not much you can do. You just have to time it and kind of be there for them. And if it goes over a certain time limit, that's when it can get pretty dangerous. But anywho, I'm actually waiting to get his blood work back today, and I'm hoping it comes out okay. Apparently, herding breeds are more prone to epilepsy, which I never knew, and it tends to start showing up in dogs around age 4, which is also wild. I don't know. I'm nervous that I haven't gotten the phone call yet or a text. They told me I would get a text if it's all fine, and that I would get a phone call if there are funky things going on with this blood work. I was that weirdo dog mom, and I called them this morning, and they did say the blood work came back and that they would call me later. So I don't know if the receptionist was just saying that because she didn't know that they would tell me I would get a text if it's fine, or, you know, I don't know. Haven't gotten a phone call yet, so I might actually call them again in an hour if I don't hear anything. Y'all, I know I sound crazy, but I love my dog, okay? So whatever, I will continue to be crazy. If he has epilepsy, listen, I have shed so many tears over this. I'm slowly starting to come to terms with, if he has epilepsy, he has epilepsy. You know, we're just trying to do all the research we can really do on that front. And I at least tell myself he doesn't remember it when he comes out of it. So that's at least been a comfort to Alec and I. But anyways, wow, I took 5 years to talk about my dog on an acting podcast. Y'all, please continue listening. We won't talk about Rucker anymore, but I make no apologies, y'all. I love him. Send love his way. If you've got any advice regarding this stuff, let me know. Anyways, these are all my biggest life updates. Our lives could be way worse. We recognize we have a very charmed life, okay? We are very thankful for that. Moving on to today's episode. Today's guest is a special one. Her name is Allie Hurley, and she's been a dear, dear friend of mine the past few years. She's a fellow actor in the Southeastern market who's also a mom to two cutie heads, and she's honestly just the greatest. You may have seen some of her reels on TikTok or Instagram because she's a content creator. She makes really funny reels, her most popular ongoing character being the Baroness, who you will hear more about in this episode. She was also interviewed in People magazine last year, which is really freaking crazy, and she's just amazing. She's the best person, and I can't wait for y'all to get to know her too. I did want to quickly mention, my friends are gonna hate that I'm saying this, but because I did a virtual interview, the audio wasn't where I would have liked for it to be, and it was my first time. I was dumb, and I didn't use my mic, and I definitely should have. So I apologize in advance for that. I'm learning as I go, and hopefully it will only get better from here. Next time I will hopefully have learned my lesson and make it sound better and use a freaking mic. I'm not going to beat myself up about it, okay? In-person interviews always sound a lot better, but it's hard to do them in person for a lot of people. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. My friends are probably listening to this, and they're like, oh my God, Sarah, stop apologizing. It's fine. Y'all, I'm a people pleaser, and you know this, so don't act surprised, you guys, okay? I am who I am. Anyways, without further ado, here is Allie Hurley. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Sarah.
So this is kind of a full circle moment for me. I'll tell you why. Because when I first, you might not remember this, but the way that I first got to know you was through your old podcast that you used to do. I'm not kidding, though. That's how I found you. And we became internet friends. That's so crazy.
That's really interesting because I feel like I had like, you know, 3 or 4 listeners. So I'm surprised that it reached you because I think
you interviewed one of my high school best friends through, like, we did theater together, her older sister, who's a prominent Atlanta actress, mm-hmm. Allie Hickens. She shared it on her page. And then I was like, mm-hmm. I have to listen. And then I fell in love with you, and then I connected to you. This sounds like the start of like a romance, but it's true. I love you.
I know. Well, ditto. And that was sweet of you to listen. And I am glad. Well, I think Allie was so gracious to do that because I didn't really know what was going on at the time. And I was like, oh, she's just so like her generosity of spirit is remarkable. And so I was amazed that she was willing to talk, but yeah. I feel like she is just one of those people in the industry that is very willing to lend a hand. So yeah, I'm sure she got, I mean, any listener of that episode, again, I say RIP because I think, I don't know, I only did like 1 or 2 episodes, but yeah, I feel like it was more about her.
Yeah, I remember she was sweet. She shared the whole thing, wrote a little caption about your podcast, and it was really cool. And then I went and listened to it, and she's sweet. I obviously knew her sister and their mom way more than I knew her. And even every once in a while, I will message her with a question, and she will be super gracious and answer for me, which is so kind.
Yeah. No, it was the same thing. Like, yeah, the first time I met her. I mean, it was similarly to how I felt about you. Because I remember us speaking for the first time on the phone. And I was just like, you are so giving of yourself. Like, you were just sharing so many great tidbits and just, like, sharing about yourself. And it felt like such a fast friendship. But, yeah, I remember that with her, too. I was like, the first time I met her, she's like, yeah, let's go for, like, a 3-hour walk and you can pick my brain. And I was like, wow.
Wait, Allie Ficken did that for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So nice. Okay. She's going to think this is so creepy that I'm talking about her so much because I literally don't hang out with her. I'm going to have to send her this episode and be like, you are loved more than you know. You know?
I know.
You are loved more than you know. That's awesome.
Yeah. If she does, Allie, we respect you and we really admire you. Maybe we'll just come enough like that. Yeah. Because I think she's just a good example of like people that you meet in the industry that you're like, yes, that's the person that inspires.
It's that sense of community over competition, which I feel about you 1000%. I mean it.
I'm going to cut you down, Sarah. Just wait. This is how I...
We probably audition for all the same roles, and I cannot think of one person who is more... I don't know. You're so kind and supportive of me, and I just appreciate you so... You're just amazing. We've compared audition numbers together before and kind of keep each other updated on that stuff. You've even given me referrals. Like, you're just so freaking generous, and I really appreciate that because it's not easy out here. And so a lot of people are guarded. I don't want to be that kind of person. I understand why people get guarded.
We don't gatekeep, baby. What did you say? We don't gatekeep.
I don't have a lot to offer you, but with what I can offer you, I want to start from the beginning with you. The reason I thought immediately I needed to have you on, other than me being obsessed with you, is the fact that you are an actor in the Southeast market, as well as a mom of two now, which is so exciting. Yes. But starting from the very beginning, I guess, when did you know that you wanted to be an actor? Did you grow up doing theater, or was it something later in life?
I did do theater as a kid, and I really liked it. And I don't know why I didn't double down on that more. I think I did it in middle school and high school. And when I say I did it in high school, I mean, I was a pretty forgettable ensemble person. But I did find a journal entry recently, and I think I was 6 or 7. And it was one of those what do you want to be when you grow up? Prompts from school. And it said, I want to be an actor. So I don't know. I think I deviated many times where I was I'm going to go do something else, but I just somehow continue to be led back to wanting to do acting.
Yeah. I love that. Did you end up, you went to school in North Carolina, right? Where did you go to school?
Yeah. I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I actually studied chemistry,
which is so freaking cool.
I didn't see that coming. And I really love it. The methodology of science is just so, it's so pleasing. It's so clean. And when you're thinking about acting, and it's really sporadic and random, yeah, and just seemingly disconnected all the time. It was really nice to be if you do this, then this, if you add this to this, then you get this. It's just,
yeah.
The scientific method.
I wish my brain worked that way.
Yes.
You know,
me too. I do. I really tried to force it for a long time, and it, usually backfired.
No, you're being humble right now, because nobody just decides to major in chemistry. You have to have a knack for that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I think that more people, would enjoy science, but for the teacher. Does that make sense? I just happened to get a really good 101 professor. She was just so spunky. I feel she would slam dunk as an actor. She was just so, her presentation was so vivacious, and I don't think I would have chosen it if not for her.
Okay. So you went in undecided and then chose it based off of a professor.
I don't think I had any, I think I was thinking about even English maybe, or, maybe biology. Cause I think I had taken maybe AP bio in high school or something, but I remember really liking chemistry in high school, just because it literally is just I can't describe it. It's the feeling in your brain. It's just so clean and pure. It's so balanced and beautiful. And I feel the same about physics too. And so I remember just being well, I'll just take 101 because I remember liking it in high school. And so I'll try it out. And then I had this really great professor, and I was okay, I guess I didn't really have anything else.
And then I ask this because clearly I know nothing about I did IV chemistry in high school. That's my biggest flex. I didn't fail it, so that's nice. But what were you wanting to teach it? Were you wanting to work in that field? Did you have an idea yet?
No, I thought I definitely was never going to be like a PhD, because I actually got I got a Bachelor of Arts in Chemistry. So it wasn't even a Bachelor of Science. So I say that because it was a much easier track. You didn't have to have nearly as much math. And so I was thinking I was going to go to medical school. So that was, yeah.
And then what was the moment that you knew you wanted to make the switch to acting?
I think I always like wanted it in the back of my head, and I always felt like really kind of crushed, like thinking that it wasn't going to happen. And so when I was in undergrad and I was trying to get like I was working in like a lab. Actually, it was the Cystic Fibrosis Center. And so I remember there were just so many like great scientists there. And I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to be that passionate. Like they were just so just thoughtful and pioneering. And they were just doing this amazing research. And one of the doctors I was working for, like I got to shadow her, and she was incredible at her job. And like her rapport with her patients was so impressive. And just, but like walking around doing rounds with her in the hospital and just like being in a hospital setting, I was like, oh, I don't think I can do this. Like it's sort of, I don't just as a upfront, like I'm a, you know, believer that the Holy Spirit is just kind of always has a hand in what we're doing. And so I think I was frequently given like almost the feeling of cringe, like anytime I was in the hospital. And so I think that was just like, yeah, I don't know if this is right. And so I didn't end up applying for medical school or taking the MCAT or anything. So I worked in like a contract. This is getting so shatteringly boring, but I worked in like, it was, right out of school, I worked at a contract research organization. I was like, I'll just do like pharmaceuticals or something. And that I got that same feeling like all the time. I was just like very anxious, like in physical pain. I think if I'm doing something that doesn't feel right, this sounds really woo woo, but I just get a lot of like pain and anxiety. And so, then I was like, you know, I think I'll just try acting and maybe that will lift my spirits up. And that's when I moved to Atlanta.
Sometimes that anxiety is your body trying to tell you something, you know, not always. Yeah,
I'm such a terrible thinker. Like if I try to think what I'm supposed to do, it's like trying to remember a word that you forgot or like the name of a movie that's just slipped your mind.
Right.
But if I just like feel it, oh my gosh, this is the hippiest, dibbiest thing I've ever said. But if you feel it, you're like, this is not the correct pathway.
I am here for the hippy dippy stuff. You lean into that, Allie. You lean into that, okay? So you got married right out of college or a year out of college, or when did you get married?
Yeah, it was the year after school. Mm-hmm, yeah. We did actually go to the same high school, but I feel like I can't count that because we didn't actually meet until after, like the summer after. So yeah. College.
Oh, I realized that. That's sweet. And then you guys get married. And then where on the timeline did y'all decide, okay, I want to act? And then y'all moved to Atlanta.
It was after. So I worked for, this is an embarrassingly short trial run, but I worked for 6 months in that job, in that like my only salaried job I've ever had. It was 6 months and it felt like 9 years. We were engaged. Okay. So if I can just say the months, maybe that will help me articulate this in an actual understandable way. We graduated in May. Then I worked that summer into the following January for the CRL contract research. And then I quit that job in February. Then I worked as a park ranger from March until September while we were engaged. And then we got married in September. And then we went to Atlanta.
Okay. And then did y'all get jobs ahead of time moving to Atlanta? I guess, yes. I guess that's the question.
No, we didn't. Because Matthew, my husband was, he was maybe going to do a PhD program and then ended up like pivoting and wanting to just go into industry right away. So he's an engineer. We were like, well, we don't really have any responsibilities, so let's just wing it. And that's exactly what we did. And it's hard to think back whether that was smart or not, but it did, you know, moving somewhere without a job encourages you to get going right away because you are.
I don't think it's not smart. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it gives that push that you need, you know?
Yeah, I think it did. I think Although it's not like I went down there and like landed a dream job or anything like that, but pretty quickly we're like, okay, we got to get some cash flowing back in the bank.
It kind of gets you to start hustling, you know?
Yeah.
So you go to Atlanta, start training, mm-hmm. you get reps, all those things, start working, auditioning. When did you guys kind of decide that y'all might want to start having little kiddos, little babies?
Oh, I think, looking back, thank goodness, but it's good, probably good that it didn't happen, but I do remember moving there and I was like, okay, I think I'm ready for our kids. And again, this is like with such a shocking lack of like preparedness and foresight. I can't like think about hypothetical things. So it was just sort of a feeling. But it wasn't for years later. I think we were married 3-4 years before our daughter was born. So, yeah, I don't remember if there was like a distinct moment. I think it was just like we had been married for enough time that I think we've just felt really comfortable in our relationship and like kind of like there was space to expand it.
Right. I ask this because for some reason I was, but were you scared about having what it would look like to have kids balancing an acting career, or were you not?
I don't think I really thought about it that much. And this is because it was, what's that?
You see what I just did? I don't know. Okay. That was weird. I can ask that question. I accidentally clicked a button and it put our faces in like a stadium seating.
I didn't see it, but like, let's bring that back. That could really...
So you pick
it up on my end.
Like, gosh, that should just show everyone how unprepared I am when it comes to technology. When it comes to technology,
I'm impressed that you figured out how to do that. That was that sounds like technology wizardry.
Okay, going. What was the question? You were whether or not you were scared about having kids with acting.
Oh yeah, I think. I didn't really think about it very much because it was COVID. So I was like, well, this acting is like gone. It doesn't even exist anymore. And yeah. I think I was more like, I just have a terrible capacity to like envision what it would realistically be like. But I just figured like acting jobs are few and far enough between that I just didn't think it would be like much of a conflict. I also think I was... I had like some good influence. I can't remember if it was stuff that I read or people told me, but it was like, you have to like give yourself permission to be happy now. And I knew I wanted to have kids. And so I couldn't put a number on, oh, if I get to this point, then I'll be secure in my career and then I can have kids. Cause I didn't know when that was going to be. So I was like pretty unwilling. I don't know. It's just like once you kind of feel the impulse, it's like, I'm not going to wait around for some hypothetical job I might get in 10 years and then be like, okay, no, I'm ready for kids because maybe I wouldn't be able to have kids by then. Or like, maybe it still wouldn't feel like enough. You know, it's just like, you can't wait for some like nebulous definition of success. For me, I couldn't because I just didn't know what that would be. And I didn't know how long that would be. And I was unwilling to like put off having a family for a career that I didn't even really know. Again, this was COVID, so I didn't even really know if it was going to come back at that point. I was just like, maybe this is kind of run its course.
Wow. Okay. I'm just going to take a moment to pause because you just dropped so much wisdom. Oh my word. I got pregnant during the strike. So it was kind of a similar thing. The strike. Great time to be pregnant as an actor. I'm not going to lie.
I think you timed that pretty perfectly.
It was taking us a while to get pregnant, whatever. Then ironically, the month before we got pregnant, we were like, maybe this isn't the right timing. Maybe we need to just focus on other things. And then God was like, that's a joke. And then I was so in shock that I was pregnant the following month that I, not to be TMI, but like several days had passed since I was supposed to have my period. I was drinking margaritas. I was having a grand old time on the beach. I like make jokes like, what if I was pregnant? Alec and I would both laugh. Like that's how Guys, I was pregnant, you know, while I was making those jokes, we were both laughing, drinking our alcohol.
Yes. I think everybody, it happens to everybody. Like, you just don't really know. I mean, as soon as you know, obviously you pivot, but like, yeah. And it's not like you were having a rager every night.
Yeah. Being wasted. No, yeah. But it's just,
I was never not drunk though, the whole time. Yeah. I was
I love everything you just said. That's inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. And I literally just had a baby 2 months ago, and it's like almost re-inspiring me again for like the future. Cause I am a little bit of an anxious person. I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram. And my main number is a 7, which is like the enthusiast, you know?
Oh, but my gosh.
What are you? Do you know?
I do. I don't really want to say, but no, I will. I was just kidding. I really wanted to be a 7, and I'm definitely not, but I think that's my favorite one. Maybe this is why I am so was so immediately attracted to you, but, not in a creepy way, but,
We love each other.
Yes. I was like reading the Enneagram book, and I was like, I'm definitely a 7. I know it. And then I was like, definitely heartily not a 7, because it's kind of like the, you know how a lot of people say the one that is like the most cringe factor for you. And that was like, I'm definitely solidly a 3, but I'm just
really like, oh, the achiever.
Yeah. I also think it's the one that's like, oh, you're salesman-y, like you're.
No, Alec is a 3. I think we thought he was a 2. He's a 3, mm-hmm. Probably a wing 2, definitely not a wing 4. Mm-hmm. Which 4 is like more artistic, nothing wrong with 4s. Don't come for me, people. I can see you being a wing 2 or 4, but also a 7. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Like, the Enneagram is just, it doesn't mean that you don't embody those other traits, right? Like when I asked you what number, I kind of could see 7, because you're kind of up for anything. When I know, mm-hmm. in the past we talked about, oh, you're like, I'm down to move to LA one day, you know, all those go surfing. Yeah. You just kind of go with the, which I love about you, even with the mindset of, I freaked out about what pregnancy would do with me audition wise. Yes. And it affected things a little bit because the strike ended, which we don't have to get into all that. It's not about me, but,
It's so interesting. I love to talk about, I just really, maybe like on a unhealthy level, I just like deeply want to know, what other people, you know, cause it's just like, it's interesting, but also, I'm nosy, and it's just like we get one life, one personality. And I just am always so curious to be like, how are you living your life? Like what things are terrifying and exciting to you?
Right. When you, I know this is so far in advance, but what would you think if MJ one day was like, I want to try acting, and she was like a little bit older, but not super, would you be mm-hmm. all for it? Or would you be nervous about that? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think I would want her to maybe do, if she's a kid and she said that, I'd be like, let's do theater, because there's just too many scary stories of people. The only reason, maybe she could, she's much more strong and grounded than I mean, I can tell this like at 2, like she's so sure of herself. And maybe that's just to how everybody is before you get the grand entrance of self-awareness. But I feel like maybe she could handle it better, but I feel like I'm have such a fluid personality and have such, you know, like sway based on who I'm around, that it's taking me a long time to be like confident, staying centered. And I think that if I had any kind of like access to like social media or something when I was a kid, or like acting, like film acting or something when I was a kid, I think it would have been pretty detrimental to me. Yeah. But maybe she would be great with it. I don't know. She's very solid. So I think I would be like, maybe we should try theater first, because you know, that's like sweet and small scale and a great way to make friends and blah, blah, blah. But if she did it when she was older, I'd be super proud of her, because I think one thing that I've struggled with is like trying to break out of needing to do like a conventional career path. And I would be so happy for her if she was like willing to pursue the arts rather than, I think I really wanted to pursue the arts, but I felt like a very strong need to have some sort of conventionality. And so I would be very, very proud if she was like, you know, I feel like I could handle the uncertainty of the arts. And I'd be like, great. Maybe you can coach me.
Yeah. Alec and I always joke. So my friend, who she's, you know, super smart, went to law school, all these things. And she joked, it was a total joke. Oh. Well, actually not a joke, but you know, we laughed. She was like, my sister, actually totally not a joke. She was like, she's going to listen to this. Hi Lydia. She made a joke that was like, my sister and I pray that our future children won't be artists or won't want to pursue the arts like for a career. And I think she meant it because, you know, the arts typically don't make any money. But Alec and I, it's kind of funny, we make the opposite joke. We're like, please, dear God, don't let Rory be an accountant. Like literally.
Yes. I know. I mean, I think it would be so fun. Yes. No, I think, yeah. Well, I feel like your child will just be very creative because you are. But yeah, I would be. I think what's really cool about now is, or just like the time that they're growing up in, like that our kids are growing up in, is you can really do anything. Like you have, if you have sort of a vision, or not even a vision, but just like the persistence, I think it's possible because there's so much exposure. There's so, it's just, you know, what do they call it? Like it's like the age of entrepreneurship or something. No, that's not right. Do you know what I mean? It's like the creator generation, like the,
okay. Yeah.
There's like a way more eloquent way of,
we're like, okay with having multiple gigs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or maybe like, I know that there's like the gig economy, but I was sort of, right. Yeah, I'm sort of thinking like, I almost feel like we've in a, surely this is not an educated thing that I'm about to say, but I think what's happened is like, we've kind of maxed out, like peaked on the traditional education front, where like, I think a generation ago, it was like, if you had your college degree, like you are guaranteed a job. And then it was like, if you have your graduate degree, you're guaranteed this great lifestyle. But now it sort of seems like it's up in the air. Like it's so expensive to get any degree, let alone a graduate degree. And people are finding so many ways to monetize things that they're passionate about without a degree, that it's, I almost feel like we've hit a peak. So for our kids, I'm like, you know, I would be thrilled for you if you wanted to go to school, like go to university, because it's a really unique experience. But if you wanted to do something else, I think that there's so many examples of people that really make a great life for themselves without having a conventional path.
We're bringing back the trades, baby. We're bringing yes. back. Here's to that.
Yeah, I agree. I sort of would want our kids to, just because it's kind of like the only time in your life, even like you can go to university at any age, of course, but it is really special to be the same age as like 10,000 other people all living together and like having a shared experience. So I think the experience part of it is cool. And you do like learn some really good self-sufficiency skills, I guess, with, it's kind of like a soft opening before life. So I think it's like worth it, but I also, and I'm not going to like demand that they do.
Yeah, you're not going to. Yeah, I agree. I loved college for the social aspect. Mm-hmm. Switching gears a bit, you were just telling me the other day that because of how slow the industry is right now for literally everyone, auditions have been a bit scarce for you, which mm-hmm. they also have been for everyone. Me too. You know, sounds like productions might not be happening anytime soon, but you're okay. I'm fine. But you're, yeah. smiling through tears, but you're okay with that because your creative cup has been filled with all of your content creation that you do, on, especially on Instagram. I am not TikTok too. I'm not on TikTok, but you do have a TikTok, right?
I do. Yeah. I would say I'm more Instagram heavy at this point.
And you have, and I know you're not the kind of person that really cares about this kind of thing and you would never like go around bragging about it, but I'm going to brag for you. Yeah. You have literally nearly 86,000 followers on Instagram, right? That's crazy. I mean, it's at least that number, if not higher. I can check right now if I'm wrong. Do you want me to? I can prove this. Yeah. You have a lot. I mean, it's insane because I saw you when I watched when you started making those comedic reels, and then you just deliver. Like, you're just so good at them. Mm-hmm. You're so creative. I don't know how you come up with so many. And then that leads me. You do different characters, but one of your most common or consistent characters that everybody loves is the Baroness. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about the Baroness and what inspired you to create her? Because we love her.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Yes. When I was newly postpartum, I literally had dreams like at night that people were like carrying me around because I was so tired. And I was like, oh, they were carrying me around like a baby. But somehow this kind of stuff works in a dream. Like, it's not creepy. Like, I'm a grown person being carried around, but I was being carried around and like people were giving me massages and like making me meals, cooking, cleaning.
And as they should.
I think so too. And I was like, wait, why doesn't this exist in real life? And so I think I just was probably watching The Crown a lot or something. And I was like, that's a dang good accent. And clearly, like in the earlier videos of that, I think my accent is still pretty questionable. If you ask a British person, they're probably like, that's not even close. But I just thought it was such a funny way to talk. And so I was pretending to be someone who has a full wait staff. And I think just people thought it was really silly, and maybe because they were also feeling that way too. They were like, wow, wouldn't this be great?
I think it's hilarious. One of the ones that I thought was just so funny was the video you made about like having visiting hours with your own children. Like, they have to schedule a time to see you. I was like, that is comedic genius right there. That is so funny.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it would like, that's what they did, right? They would have like, I don't really, and I say this like, I think that the royal family is intriguing. I wouldn't say I'm like a royal fan because we're American. Like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, the monarchy, and because we just didn't grow up, we're not from that culture. So I'm just intrigued by it. Like, it's amazing to me that it exists. And amazing, I say, like almost incredible, like unbelievable that this is just the generationally that this has been going on so long. And I don't really know that much about it, but just from watching, you know, like period dramas and stuff, you're like, they really did. They would be like, okay, governess, come in for 5 minutes. Good to see you. Bye. Love you. Maybe not even love you. Probably not.
That's so funny that you're not even that into them and you literally have a bajillion followers for doing that. And also I feel you. I never grew up really watching the royal weddings like people do and like getting really into them. I feel that now that we're on this topic, I need to mess up the whole Kate Middleton stuff. Not with you, with me. I was so invested into the conspiracies about where she went. And so, you know, I'm into the pop culture stuff. I have no shame about it. I have no shame about caring.
So about dumb. I don't care. This is me.
but you know, obviously everyone, we all felt terrible being invested in it when the whole Kate being gone, knowing that now like she's been diagnosed with cancer. I had been posting on like my story sometimes, just like I do with other people to be dumb. About what I thought was happening because the palace was, I take full responsibility for being invested in something I had no right to be invested in, but it was weird.
Yeah.
They would release old pictures acting as if they were current and recent. So then of course everyone's going to go into a frenzy wondering if something's wrong with her. So people were really concerned about her and were curious. And then, you know, we all feel like absolute crap when we realize the actual situation, but I'm sure there are people that are like, Sarah, why? So you posted all this stuff before. Why don't you post now saying, I'm not an important enough person that I think people really care about what I post anyway.
Oh, I mean, you know? I think definitely people care, but not in like a, I love this thing. I say this to myself all the time because it's just a great way to deflate my ego immediately. It's like people aren't thinking, nobody is thinking about you as much as you are. So that's not to say like people don't care what you post because, you know, I see your posts and I think it's like you're so funny on Instagram. But I think it's just like people move on so quickly on social media. Like they swipe whatever scroll so quickly that it's like it's nobody's like, oh my gosh, can you believe three weeks ago, Sarah was posting the same, literally the same stuff that the entire rest of the world was speculating in. You know,
with you having such a big platform, do you get anxious if you get any comments like that aren't great? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really don't respond well to negative comments. Not like my reaction is, I think a lot of people are just like, when you go to comments, like if you were to go on someone who has, you know, like a really big following and go to their comments, that's like what everybody does first is like, oh, what are the comments saying? And there's always this just like people going for each other's throats, and maybe the creators like clapping back at people and stuff. And I'm always like, I guess impressed that they have the bandwidth to do that, but it also sometimes I maybe respect them a little bit less because they are so like they have so much influence, and I just don't really see the point of like, do you know, it's, don't feed the trolls. Like, not that a lot of times people comment something and maybe it is negative, but they mean well or something. My reaction is to just like delete it or just move on because I think I'm just not really a combative person. Like I don't like to argue. Even Matthew and I will say like, we just don't argue. It's not true that we don't get into arguments, but it's not our MO to like yell at each other or something, or like we just don't like tension a lot. So yeah. I think most people are super positive, but if there is something negative, it's usually, I'm just like, oh, okay, moving on. Like, I can't even read it really. As soon as I know that it's about to be negative, I'm like, skirt.
I love that. It would kill me. Okay. An example, and then we'll move on. But I respected you. I respected you with a recent thing because you made a video again, regarding the Kate Middleton stuff before everything came out.
I made a couple and I was just like, oh, whoops. Not good.
Well, because you didn't know. None of us knew. And the palace is being freaking weird, okay? Like, with what they were working. Them in the media, whatever. not again. No, truly. And I thought it was cool of you because you just commented on one of your own videos after the diagnosis, or after it came out that she's been diagnosed with cancer. And you said, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not going to take this video down. Like, I made this before I knew. And then I saw somebody respond and they're like, what's the point of not taking it down? That's more. And I'm like, well, if she took it down, like, you can't win either way. If you took it down, then people would say that you're a coward for, you know, trying to cover up. Instead, you kind of owned it. You know, I feel like I would have gotten so anxious. I would have been like, delete, and not really, you know?
No, I think, I don't know if I'm just vain and I was like, I'm not deleting this because I spent time on it, but no, I think I actually did think about that because it would have been easier and maybe better. I don't know if it would have been better to just delete it, but I really like, it was in hindsight, that was like an insensitive video to make, but also, if I took it down, then I didn't really have a chance to be like, you know, like actually say that I'm sorry. And this is making me sound like I'm on like, oh, I'm like on a high horse about this, but, I really wanted to apologize first of all. So if I took it down, then I can't do that. And it was also, I felt like for one of the ones that I did, the point wasn't to make fun of her. The point, I was trying to just imagine myself as an intern being assigned to do a Photoshop for the princess. Like, I was trying to just think of this ridiculous character really. Right. So I wasn't really, even if she didn't have cancer, even if she did, you know, like it was for a totally different reason, I feel like I still would have been making fun of that situation, not even making fun, but just making a silly situation out of it. And just because I was trying to like imagine what it's like, more making fun of the whole, like, what's it called? The system that runs the royal, like all the people behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Like, right. There's just all these people that are doing things for them. And I feel like everyone's just white knuckling it probably. So that's really what
I'm sure that's true.
Anyway. Yeah. But that is really devastating. And I immediately was just like, that's just, I think the entire world was like collective gasp because just as her as a mom, Oh my gosh, that, I have like nightmares about that. Of just like your children and not being there for your children. But I'm just praying that they have, like, she's probably got the best doctors in the world. So,
right.
Yeah, praying for her.
So many people all around the world are praying for her too, which is a really beautiful thing. Was it last year you were interviewed for People magazine because you had a TikTok that went viral?
I think it was last year. It was definitely last year. I can't remember what month it was. Well, my son was born last year at the end of September. And so it must have been like a couple months after that. But
okay, you know what? I was in Chicago when it happened. Do you know why I know that? Because I was so freaking psyched for you. And when I was waiting on a train in Chicago with my friends and I opened my phone and I saw you share that you were interviewed in People magazine, and I literally screamed in that Chicago train station.
That's so sweet. That's so kind, Sarah.
I was just, I mean, I'm not shocked because you're so freaking cool, but I was just like, what? And it's you are the best person for that stuff to happen to. And you are inspiring, and you remain consistent with everything. But how did that interview happen? Like, how did you get asked to be interviewed, and what was that like?
Oh, I think she sent me a DM. I think truly it was just like, and let me just say as a caveat, it's really not, I really am not trying to be like self-deprecating, but it actually just like makes me feel better to say this, but it was kind of just like coincidental, because maybe she wouldn't want me to share this, but the writer covers the royal family like all the time. Like, that's her full-time job. So I think probably like her newsfeed is like curated to like all the royal stuff. So I think it was just kind of like a random collision where I just happened to be doing this like silly character because my son had just been born, and I was again wishing I had a full wait staff, and she was always looking at royal stuff. So I think it was kind of just like a little entanglement that happened. The entanglement makes it sound like we had a quarrel, but you know what I mean? Like a path crossing.
The internet is so cool in that way though. Like, you never know what's going to happen. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then who was the first, were you with your husband at the time? Did you tell him immediately? Did you freak out?
Yeah, I actually don't remember. I think I saw and I thought it was like a joke or something, because she was just such a gal pal about it. She was like, you know, because I think she writes articles all day long. Like, she interviews so many people, and she was just very kind and approachable. And she was like, oh, I saw this video. Would you like to talk to you about it or something? And I don't think I responded for a couple days because I thought it was a joke or something.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's just, it's just insane. Like, that is People magazine. I get what you're saying. Like, you feel like the algorithm just kind of showed her that, but don't downplay how huge that is, because it is really freaking cool.
Well, thanks.
All right. I know that time is precious now more than ever. So I'm about to let you go, but I would love to conclude with like a little speed round of questions, and just whatever the first thing answer is, you answer. Is that cool?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Wait, sorry. I was going to say, I know also time is scarce on your end, so cut me off. But, I was going to say that I don't have my kids right now, so I'm like kind of free as a bird. So don't feel, just go on your timeline and what is comfortable for you.
Okay. Perfect. Well, are you ready?
Yes.
The first question is cloth or disposable diapers?
Oh, I've done both.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Did you have a good experience with the cloth?
Yes. If you can time it, if your child is on enough of a disposal schedule that you recognize and you can do disposable when you're expecting something messier, and then it's great, because it was, I think we just, you know, they were gifted to us on a registry. So we it was a lot cheaper to have reusable, but you know, it's a trade-off because when you don't time it right and you have a reusable diaper on and you've got like quite a big cleanup, it can be a little distasteful.
Yeah. We have cloth too. We haven't used them yet, but I guess that's a good idea about if you know, if you somehow know it's just going to be like a wet diaper, then that's not a big deal.
No, if it's just pee there, it's great. Yeah. Yeah. I think I waited a bit though, because I guess Rory's 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we just waited a bit because Murphy was so small. I don't think the reusable ones like fit on her for a couple months, but yeah, maybe around 3 months. I think we did. And then with our son, I just like don't have the emotional strength right now to try to go do reusable for him.
How old is he?
He's 5 months. Aww. Actually, wait, what day is it? He's almost 6 months. Sweet. We're going to be raising them together. Rory is going to be his future wife. No, just kidding.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I would be totally fine with, no, I'm all for it. I'd be so
feeling. Sarah, if we were future in-laws, like if I could guarantee right now that you're my future in-laws, I could just die happy. I don't want to because I want to see them get married, but I would be so at peace with that. And also happy for our kids, but more happy for us.
Totally happy for us. You want good in-laws. Also, this is off topic, but my friend Drew, who's pregnant and she's going to deliver like any day now, she is having a boy, but she always says that she loves the name Murphy for a little girl. And I always tell her, I have a friend whose baby's name is Murphy. Murphy Jane.
That's so sweet. Yes, we love. Yeah, it's fit her really well. So that's been really sweet. But yeah. But okay, but don't, if your friend is having a boy, but like, don't get any ideas. Like Rory is, we're locking her in because we want the essence of Sarah and Alec in our family.
100%. We are in-laws. Yes. This is our virtual agreement
right now. I'm so glad we decided. This is so sweet. Congratulations to us.
Question two, this will only work if you've watched Gilmore Girls enough. Have you ever watched it? Okay.
Yes. Maybe like. Oh, okay, go ahead with your question. Sorry.
Team Jess or Team Logan?
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it enough.
I was worried. I'm like, I hope I'm not spoiling anything for you.
No, I think I got to the point where I wanted so bad for Luke and Lorelai to get together that I was just like skipping through. Like I was literally Wikipediaing the seasons because I was like, when did they get married? And I was so, that's all I cared about that I kind of like glossed over everything. But okay. Remind me, if you just give me a synopsis right now of either one, I'll give you an answer.
Logan is blonde boy. He seems like he's going to be a player at first. And then he actually ends up like being steady with her, but he's a typical Yale kind of guy, like comes from a lot of wealth. And then Jess is actually Luke's nephew. That's kind of a bad boy, but cute and cool and rough around the edges.
Yes. Okay. I think Logan, because I think you got to marry for the money. And if he comes from a wealthy family, I feel like that's a no brainer.
Oh my gosh, you are amazing. That is the best answer you could have given me. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for asking. I feel like that really spoke to my soul. Thank you.
Oh my God. That's so funny. What's been the most challenging age to parent so far?
Oh, I don't know if I definitely was shocked when she started to become a toddler and she started saying no. It was literally like one day I was like, I asked her to do something and she said no. And I was like, well, that's new. But I actually don't know if it's an age per se. It's more like if they're well or sick, like when she's sick, it wrecks my soul. Not because I feel bad for her. Obviously I don't care about her health. No, just kidding. It's just so hard because they don't sleep when they're sick that I'm like, you are sick too. Usually they don't sleep. You can't really explain to them what's going on if they're little. So that's been the most challenging times for us. I've definitely like spent many nights just like sleeping with one of them in our chair, like propped up on either side with pillows so they don't like loll off one way or the other. And it's just like the only way you can kind of get some semblance of rest.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. What, Rupert, calm down. Please do not ruin this for me, Rupert. don't ruin mommy's little project. What's been the best parenting advice you have ever received? You don't have to have an answer if you don't know.
I don't know if it's one person advice, but more like an advisory parenting style for me has been to, I really admire all my friends in the way they parent. So it's just like being surrounded by community. I would say do that if you can. Just get in it with your friends, like make jokes about where you guys are with parenting. But I really like, and I say this never having lived there, but I really like the way I've read about European parents, like particularly the Dutch and the French. And I really don't, I think if you can just be as laid back as possible when it comes to like letting them experiencing the world and not being so rigid about like how competitive Americans are, it's just such a joy. Like I just, my like message that I hope I get across to my children is like, life is just all about like joy, like just amuse yourself and you can really just like make lemonade out of any situation, because if the person who's having the most fun is winning, you know, like that's it. That's because you had to just be like, I'm happy now. Like this is the day that I'm going to like look back on and miss, I think. Alex, even though, yeah.
Are one of our favorite books. Our favorite parenting book for sure. And you read it too. I think we talked about it as Bringing Up Bebe, and they talk about the French parenting, and I love it.
Yes. Okay. I think I read that book like 4 times during my daughter's first year of life, because it was just like an antidote to the self-help books or the parenting 101 books that everybody's kind of peddling on this side of the pond.
That's how, yeah. And apparently they're going to make a movie with Anne Hathaway of that. I don't know if that's true. I just heard Inklings. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Okay. Well, if that's true, I mean, I'm a little taken aback, because I auditioned for that role. and I'm really just befuddled as to how they passed me over.
Anne's a good actress, but she's fine.
She has one of those like Oscars or whatever, but I don't think anyone really cares about that.
I don't love her as a person. That's actually a side. That's a fun fact about me, because she bothers me in her, I'll send you videos, girl. I'll send you videos of why she
What takes? No, I don't have any strong feelings about her, but if you do, I will just back you up, because
I'm a terrible person. No, she's a fantastic actress, but when she won the Academy Award for like Les Mis, she was so fake she did that whole, she acted like she wasn't speaking to the mic, and then she said something along the lines of like, it came true. And everybody roasted her online for it, which I feel bad for her about. And then she kind of admitted later on that she was kind of like faking that, like trying to act. But then I'm like, you're such a good actress. How did you not pull that off? Okay. Next question.
No, I think that like, it's surprising whenever you see anybody like on SNL or something, I'm always surprised. This is so bad. Nah, I don't know. I don't feel bad about saying it. So many people like kind of suck at live stuff. Like, I think it's a very unique skill, which is why I'm so impressed with like comedians and improvisers and stuff, because I actually think it's a pretty hard skill to be able to perform live. And a lot of like screen actors don't do it.
I think too, the level of fame someone has, they become sometimes less of a real person, and they forget how to be a real human being, you know? So they can pretend to be movies and when they're on a set, but then if they're like experiencing a real life moment in front of people, they still feel like they have to perform maybe, and they can't just be themselves. What is your dream role if you could have any kind of role?
When they do the Mamma Mia reboot, I want to do all the parts.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. And I can see it.
Thank you. No, I actually think I would want to be one of the men. I really love, I mean, because they have all the good songs, like in the second one too, like Why Did It Have to Be Me and Waterloo. Yeah, I don't even care. But if I did have a preference, I want one of the men parts. Yeah.
for the few people that are listening to this podcast, Allie is not only funny, but she's actually, this is a great singer. And that's a true, that's true. Like you can sing beautifully. No, you really can't know that. Don't be humble. You know, girl, you know, you're a singer. Okay.
In my shower.
What's your last meal? If you could have one last meal, what would it be?
Olives.
What?
Like a bowl. Oh, they're so good. I can't even talk about it because I don't have any right now. I love them.
You know, you could have something and olives. You don't just have to have olives.
I don't need anything else. Like, I know maybe you'd be like, oh, a martini and hold the olive, but I want all the leftover olives.
So a martini, but no martini, just olives maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
that's hold the martini.
I'm going to move hold my glass. Apparently my camera battery is low and it was on 100% before. So that's
me. Oh, let's see your setup. Your setup looks so good, Sarah. Oh,
thanks, girl. Okay. Next question. Favorite season?
Summer.
I love it. Would you ever move to LA one day?
It would be really hard for me to live somewhere permanently where I didn't have a community like I do here. So I think we've talked about this. Like, it would be so fun to live places for like a couple months at a time. But yeah. I just feel so rooted in our community right now that I think I would have to be really pried away. But right. I don't know if that would ever be like, I don't think I would ever move there unless I had like some sort of work opportunity, you know what I mean? And then, who knows, I'll even end up, I don't know.
Right.
Sticking it out.
You own a lot of wigs. You're like Moira Rose. What is your favorite wig that you own?
My babies. I don't know if I can talk about my children like that. Gosh. I really like, I call it my Edna wig because it looks like Edna from The Incredibles. And I don't know what it is about her, but I swear if she was single, I would hunt her down. I just love that wig. That's my most goddess feeling when I'm in my Edna wig. And I get those short, blunt bangs on. I feel like I can do anything.
I love you. Last question. What would you tell an actor who's afraid to have kids, but they really want kids?
I would love to encourage, I would encourage people to, if that's on their heart, to follow that instinct or follow that urge or that dream. Because it's just fulfilling in ways that nothing else is, which I think maybe a lot of people probably say about parenting, and it sounds a little trite to be like, it's just so fulfilling. But actually, if you just look at it from a practical standpoint, kids will streamline your life in a way that you didn't know you needed. I think you and Alec talked about this on your first episode, but they make everything so black and white. Like, you don't have excess time to question things or ponder things. They're so funny. Like, especially, I would also say, like, give yourself time to fall in love with it. Cause I don't think I necessarily like enjoyed being a mom, even though I really wanted kids, I didn't enjoy it. If you could look at my joy scale, it's just gone. Yes. It's been exponential with each successive year. They get so fun. Like, it is fun having a newborn, and they're so snuggly and so sweet. And I know you're probably having such a good time with Rory right now. But for me, I really enjoy like the conversations that come with them being a little older. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I obviously love the baby stage. It's really sweet to snuggle and everything, but I probably every other day I'm always to Alec, like, I need to be present in the moment and not constantly looking to the future. And I'm really grateful for this season, but I just know I am going to love when she starts talking and we can be like little best friends, you know?
Yes.
And actually, you know.
No, I think, yeah, I didn't even, it makes me so excited for my son, because I've seen like Murphy blossom so much, and that I can't wait to get to know his personality too. Like, it's been so redeeming to have a second kid, because, yeah, I get so excited to see at the thought of like him where she is now, and yeah. like being able with him and get to know him, and, just everything they do is just so funny.
Yeah. Allie, you inspire me so much. You are so kind and gracious to take the time. You are a big internet celeb girl. I mean it. And the fact that you interviewed for a little podcast like mine actually I'm very grateful, you know?
Oh, Sarah. Well, this is very therapeutic. I think, yeah. I mean, obviously I love to talk about myself, and, you just know, it's just really nice. I think like having a conversation with a friend, like I would love to do this. I know that this might be weird, but I just want to make a pitch to you. If you want to tell, like, I think people are going to be so interested to hear your story too, but if you don't want to do it, like where you're asking yourself questions, because that might make you feel, uncomfortable. If you ever need a guest to come on and be a guest interviewer, and I'll pretend to be Sarah and you can be yourself, and I can ask you these questions, because I'm so intrigued. Like, I would love to, there's so many things I want to ask you today where I was like, okay, but don't grill her, Ellie.
That'd be fun.
Which places? Yeah. If I'm not shadow banned after today, it would be really, yeah. I'd love to like ask you similar stuff. And
people will probably think I'm vain for doing that on my own podcast, but I love talking with you, so I'm always down for more opportunities to chat together.
So. Yeah, it would be funny. It would just be funny. Yeah, because I think everybody wants to know the host too. You know, like you kind of can put stuff in your about section, but like it would be cool to be like get behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, I'm going to go feed Rory. I'm going to let you go. But before I let you go,
yes.
How can people find you? What's your Instagram, TikTok, all those things?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. I'm on Instagram at Allie M. Hurley. I'm going to spell my first name just to be really tedious. It's A-L-L-I-M Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y, because I spell Allie, I think, a little wonky. I don't know. It's short for Allison.
And I'm going to look at the show notes too for the episode.
Thank you Sarah.
Yeah. I love you. I adore you. Oh, and your TikTok, were you gonna say their TikTok?
It's the same. Yeah, the TikTok is the same.
Okay. I love you. I adore you so much. Thank you for coming on, and I pray to Lord Jesus that this video saves and the audio saves. I've never done this before, so I pray, send prayers up that I can get this down, because this is such a good conversation that I feel like for no one else, at least myself, I had a good time talking to you, and I will even want to listen again, because I just think you're so wise and fun to listen to. So thank you, Allie. Oh gosh.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I love you. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I am also, I'm just praying over you. Just as a new mom, I feel like you are knocking it out of the park. Right? I can't believe how much you've been working on it just in this first 2 months of Rory's life. It's really incredible. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Allie. We'll talk soon.
Yes, please. I love you. Thank you, Sarah.
That was Allie Hurley. She is so freaking amazing. If you can't tell, I'm obsessed with her for a reason. Go follow her. She's so freaking funny. Also, this is random, but every time I would sit down to edit this episode, I was so incredibly mesmerized by her voice. Allie, your voice is so soothing. It translates beautifully into a podcast format. So thank you for being on my podcast. If you've made it this far, thanks for listening to another episode of the Stay at Home Actor podcast. Please, please, please don't forget to take 30 seconds to share, subscribe, rate, review the podcast to help it reach more people. You can follow along on Instagram at the Stay at Home Actor Pod, or email me at stayathomeactorpod@gmail.com. I also have a YouTube where the episodes are all posted at, you guessed it, stay-at-home actor pod. I don't know if you're a YouTube person. I hardly go on YouTube myself, but apparently it's still a thing. So if you are a YouTube person, there you go. That is for you. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time.